Sister Jenti needs no introduction, really. She's so dear to all of us. She is currently the additional administrative head of the Brahma Kumaris, but she's been a pioneer over decades, starting from her journey from Bharat to the UK and starting service there, to being actively involved with the UN work that the Brahma Kumaris do, and even the environmental work happening by the Brahma Kumaris all around the world. So she's really kind of pushed those barriers to reach out into the world. Today she'll be talking about a subject which has come up in many conversations online, building resilience to conquer fear. And after we hear for about half an hour, I have a few questions to ask her. Thank you, Jenti Ben.
Thank you, Sona. Om Shanti. The simplest way to first define resilience is you have a rubber band and your box of tuli is a little bit bigger than the rubber band can cope with. And so you stretch it and stretch it and stretch it, and either it breaks, which happens often, or if it doesn't break, it gives way, but afterwards it doesn't go back to its original shape. And that happens also sometimes. But when the rubber has resilience, then you stretch it and it manages to do the work you're asking it to do. And then when you've finished, when it finishes its job, then it comes back to its original form. And in terms of fear coming into this equation, I don't know how much I can cope with, and so that gives me fear. I don't know whether I'm going to break. I don't know whether I'll be able to maintain my original qualities or not. Maybe I'll stretch myself to a certain point, and beyond that limit, I know that I won't be able to manage any further. So sometimes we call it breakdown, sometimes we call it burnout, but basically that's what I'm scared of. And so resilience means having faith in myself, having faith in Baba, and faith in Rama. And sometimes it also means having faith in the family, because we get tested by all of these situations. I'm sure everyone's been through all of these things, not just one of them, but all of them. Maybe not the question of faith in Baba, because I think we're pretty strong in that. That's why we're still here. If you lacked faith in Baba or had shaken in your faith, I wouldn't be seeing you sit here. And so that faith is pretty strong, but the others sometimes fluctuate. And so question also is sometimes, well, I don't know whether my body can cope with whatever it is I'm being asked to do. So it's not just the mind, but the concern for the body. Another question that comes up that we're afraid of, will I have sufficient finances for myself? I want to serve Baba, I want to serve the Yajna, but what do I do? And to some of these questions there's very practical answers, and some of these questions have spiritual answers. And resilience means just being able to see which aspect it is that I need to be careful about, not worry about, not think about, but just have attention and care. There's a person I know who was avoiding lifting bags, and somebody said, he's just been lazy. And it happened to be a she and a he, so I'm using those nouns, those pronouns. And I thought, well, I'm not seeing this person lazy as such. let me have a chat. And so when I chatted to this individual, it was clear that he knew that he had a back issue, and if simply out of courtesy he were to say, "That's fine, I'll carry the bags from here to the car and back and forth," and if something snapped, if something happened, then the few minutes of courtesy would mean a huge amount of pain and maybe further repercussions in terms of his health. So there are situations in which if I need to explain something to another, let me be able to communicate with respect, with soul consciousness, so that they're aware of my situation. And then there's not going to be any judgment. There won't be any limits imposed in that way. And there won't be any remarks made. But if I'm not soul conscious enough to be able to explain what the situation is to the other, then of course it's very easy for them to have lots of waste thoughts. And I can say, well, they shouldn't have waste thoughts. But if I'm causing someone to have waste thoughts, that's also my responsibility. And so let me not do things that create waste thoughts in others. That's also part of my journey of yoga. And so that's a very practical physical thing. In terms of finances, again, rather than just have a question and fear of the future, I don't know what's going to happen. Will I have enough for my needs or not? Do I have to give to the yagya? No, you don't have to do anything. But at least talk to somebody senior and ask them, how should I be using the resources that I have? Somebody you trust. Daddy Janki, of course, was the one who we usually spoke to about finances. And she would ask us our situation. She would ask, do you have family that you're responsible for? Do you have to be responsible for their education? Do you have to be responsible for their health? Do you have a house? Do you have a mortgage to pay? She would really get into that sort of detail. And then she'd be able to explain and say, yes, you've got all of these responsibilities, but at least you can give 10% of what you have to Baba, so that you're also thinking about your future fortune. And 10% isn't a big deal. If I'm aware, then to save here and there and save 10% for Baba, not a big deal. But if there was somebody who was single and they didn't have any responsibilities for parents or children or partners or anything like that, she would give them, again, a very clear guideline. And I don't mind telling you, because there might be some of you who are in that position, and if you're not, it's fine. But Daddy would say, divide it into four parts. Half you use for your current needs, your expenses, whatever it is they may be, your home, your food, your travel. Just take half of that amount and keep it for that purpose, for your needs. And then 25% you keep for savings. In the Western world, people don't always have a concept of saving. And so she used to actually sit and teach people that. People who are now world teachers, and at that time they were very new students. So 25% for savings. And they'd quibble and say, but Daddy, I don't need to keep savings. And Daddy would say, you never know if you're going to lose your job. You don't know if your health isn't going to manage. You don't know what's going to happen. And so 25% for savings. And then 25% you use for Baba. And so whether it's specific service you're doing or whatever. So it was a very, very simple guideline in which you don't need to be thinking, should I not? And of course she got it from Sakar Baba. And so you knew that it was Srimath, and that's the formula. And of course there's many situations in between that are not as clear-cut as this. But rather than just think and overthink and think again, well, that weakens the soul hugely. It's taking my time, it's taking my energy, and it's trapping me into a vicious circle. Because once the mind gets into a pattern of overthinking, it's not so easy to break that habit. And so we came to Baba with whatever habits we had, and maybe they're still carrying on, and overthinking is maybe one of those habits. And you worry, you create anxiety, and the next thing is that you have fear. And so resilience means finding out what my capacity is and how to be able to deal with things within my capacity today. But yes, whatever my capacity is today, with Baba's help, surely it will continue to increase. I used to see Daddy speak for 18 hours a day in London. And I'd be translating for some of those hours, not all of them. When she was traveling then, sometimes translating 18 hours a day, literally. But it was a joy because I was learning and growing. So it never felt a burden or heavy or anything like that. But in London, we had lots of Hindi people. And so she would then be talking to them directly. But I just asked myself the question, how is she doing this? And I knew that it was Baba's help, of course, but still, here's the human body. How did she manage it? And yet, what you find is that if you just continue with Baba's love, Baba's help, Baba's faith, and your capacity continues to grow. And yes, I find myself talking 18 hours plus sometimes. But not just speaking, whatever it is you're doing. Maybe you're doing admin work and you're managing just a little bit. It's a little center. The center grows and grows and grows. And then maybe it's a retreat center and the admin continues to grow. But with Baba's help, you're developing and growing. And 10 years ago, if you thought about all the things you're doing today, you'd say, oh, I wouldn't be able to manage that. But here you are, managing all of that plus more. And so resilience isn't a fixed point. Resilience develops and grows. With a rubber band, it's not got a soul. And so whatever capacity it has, it's either break or lose elasticity. But Baba's children, if you think about how the brothers who used to work in the kitchen in Pandavapavan, from Pandavapavan they moved to Gyanasagar, from a few hundred to maybe 1,000. From Gyanasagar they moved to Shantivan, and multiply. And yes, the team around them has grown, but also their capacity has grown. And so for Baba's children, resilience means to have faith that if Baba has given me a task, I accept that task with love and faith, then Baba gives me the power to be able to deal with it. And if I sometimes feel overwhelmed, how am I going to cope with all of this? How am I going to manage all of this? Maybe it's actually not the workload. Maybe it's my thoughts about the work. How many of you have experienced this? That the work was actually not so much, but the thinking about it was this much, and that created the tiredness. Anyone gone through that? A few. So the trick is, really, just know that it's not a huge task. And if I've been following Baba's guidelines, and I've been giving love and respect to others, there'll be many, many helping hands will come forward, and they will also help at that time. If I've ignored them, if I've been rude to them, if I haven't given them time and attention, then they'll say, let her get on with it. It's fine. But If I've done what I need to do in terms of relationships and investment in relationships, when there's an investment you put in this much, but the return you get hopefully is this much, that would be what a good investment does. Same thing. Maybe I've spent just a little bit of time with somebody, just sharing my own experience, just talking about Baba's Gyan, nothing serious, nothing heavy, but just a little bit of time and attention with an individual, and there's a connection that you're building up. And you're not doing it with the thought, well, if I give them time, they're going to help me in future. Now, that's called a business. That's not called love. But if, as Baba's child, I can give my time and attention to somebody, and I saw how Daddy created air quality souls by giving them time and attention. And many of you sitting here in this room will know that you've also experienced that. If she said, okay, I'm going to read them early, and then I'm going to sit and do my own work, I've got plenty of things to think about, lots of letters to write, lots of things to do. It didn't work like that. She made herself available so that through the day and afternoon and night sometimes, we'd get tired, but Daddy would carry on till 10:30 easily, very easily. And we'd be yawning. Then Daddy would say, okay, all of you are tired, let's finish. So, giving time and attention to others, bringing them closer to Baba, means that you're planting seeds of love in their hearts, so that, yes, at the moment of need, they're there to help. And whatever would have taken me alone 4 hours, 5 hours, a few helping hands, and there you go. It's all done within an hour. But I need to be able to cultivate those relationships. But resilience comes when I know that that also is an ingredient. I know that there's a big task ahead, but I know that it can happen with love and respect. And so if I invest in that, that's going to bring me the results that Baba would like to see. You know, Baba emphasizes this whole thing about working together and dancing with each other's sanskaras. Resilience in terms of dealing with other people's sanskaras. Now that's another big story. And I'll say, well, I can manage my own sanskaras, but why do I have to bother with the sanskaras of others? Well, fine, let me do what I can myself on my own and be happy and content with whatever results that brings. But if I want to be able to be Baba's instrument for something better, something bigger, something more subtle, something more beautiful, then I don't have the skills to be able to do all of that. Never mind capacity on a spiritual level, but even on a physical level, I don't have all those skills. And so only if I've learned to dance with 5, 10, in Madhuban 40, sometimes if it's a big event, 50, 60, more. So when I've learned to dance with everyone and I've built up my resilience in going through that journey of being able to mold and adjust and give way and maybe, yes, sometimes stand firm, you can see how resilience is using all the 8 powers that Baba has given us. If there's one of those powers missing, maybe that's what's going to come and make me fall down. It'll be that power which I needed at that moment and I didn't have, and I fall flat on my face. And so resilience means being very aware of all the different powers and being able to take all of those from Baba. Baba says, the powers are your servers. You have a right over all the powers. And so just be aware of being the child of the Almighty. And then have the courage and the faith and those powers will develop, and you'll find yourself being an instrument for amazing things that you could not have imagined earlier on. And so, one person I know, not a VK, but he is closely in contact and works with us in many ways, but also he observes everything we do. And the way he describes Raj Yoga is that it's the method to build capacity. That's his favorite way of introducing us to people out there at programs. If you want to build capacity, learn Raj Yoga. If you want your people to build capacity, have them go and learn Raj Yoga. So it is something which is truly recognized by the world, that if you have a spiritual practice, especially one that connects you with God, then your capacity definitely increases. And if I'm looking at what's coming in the next 12 months, I don't have a crystal ball, but you can imagine what's going to happen in the next 24 months. But certainly we know that climate is going to get more and more unpredictable and more intense. Just one statement tells you something. The Philippines have been hit 6 times in the last few weeks with severe typhoons. Typhoons are part of their life, but they don't come as frequently as they do now, and they don't come with the intensity that they do now. And London, well, UK, we've had storms. We don't have typhoons. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? But we don't have typhoons, we have storms. But the storms can be very vicious and definitely make people homeless. Sometimes they kill people. And at the moment, we've had a lot of stormy weather, but there's more to come. And they're saying that, well, part of climate change is the intensity of the storms. So wherever it is you are, things are going wrong in terms of climate. Delhi, 50 plus degrees temperatures, it's not humanly tolerable. And with that pollution, Delhi has this infamous label of the most polluted city in the world currently. The label changes from time to time. It goes sometimes to another country, another city, but at the moment it's Delhi. And so schools are shut. Children are learning online. Students are not going to university. Parliament offices are closed. Government offices are closed. And so that's today. Why I'm talking about this is, in the next 12 months, is it going to get worse or is it going to get better? You know the answer. So am I internally so strong that any of these outside things don't shake me? I'm able to come back to my original state of Om Shanti, come back to my original state of peace, purity, truth, love and joy. These are my original natural qualities, and those are the qualities I want to experience. I want to be in that awareness. But I sometimes move off to a different range and I don't like myself then. And if I don't like myself, how is anybody else going to like me? That's the issue. And so can I love myself? Because I'm resilient. I'm not afraid of the future because I'm building up my capacity every single day. What happens is that if there's a fluctuation, today I'm strong, tomorrow I lose it and I come crashing down, that creates fear. I don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow. Maybe it'll be good, maybe it won't be good. But if I can stick to my stable stage through all the upheaval of things going on, then I have the confidence and the faith that whatever happens, whatever comes, I'll be with Baba. It'll be okay. So those are some of my thoughts on resilience and fear.
So Sister Jinti, you spoke about faith. Faith in
four. You need to keep the mic close.
Faith in the four types of faith that Baba often speaks about. So would you say that ultimately the antidote to fear is faith? And if I'm still feeling fearful, I need to look at one of these four faiths. Would that be right?
Yes, definitely. Tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen. But if I have faith that I'm holding Baba's hand, I'm following Srimad, I don't have that fear what's going to happen tomorrow. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be fine.
One of the big fears that came up in a conversation recently online with Brother Brijmohan was the fear of the political changes that are coming. And many of us actually don't live in our own country of origin. We are there for Baba's service or for work. And so the difficulties that are going to start to happen when countries close down, where will we go? How will things be?
The story of Uganda is well known. Do I need to mention it? 1972, there was an exodus of Indians from Uganda, and it created fear in people, Indians all around in East Africa. Maybe the same thing's going to happen here. But people who came from Uganda to Britain, they had a hard time, but through that period, many, many came to Baba. If they'd lived in a life of comfort, they probably would never have thought about coming to Baba. But they were uprooted, brought to a strange place that was very alien for them for many reasons. And they found Baba. And they opened their hearts and their doors to Baba. And today the Leicester Center is there because they were expelled from Uganda. So, wonderful story. But also others who came from Uganda to London, Lokik people, they made their lives into very good lives. And asked them, do you want to go back to Uganda today? They'll say, but I'm comfortable here. One particular individual who did come to, he came to London actually, and I heard a story just now. I was in Uganda about 2 months ago before coming to India. And his story was that he was a taxi driver in London. And I don't know how many of you have done taxiing as a job, but it's pretty tough. It's hard work and it's scary sometimes. Anything can happen to you. Well, this guy was a bit fed up. And then he heard that Uganda was asking the Indians to come back. So he decided to go back and give it a shot. And he had some savings, one house, two houses, many houses, and he's now the biggest landowner in the city. So, you know, you land on your feet. If you're ready to work hard in Lokik life and in Gyan, of course, drama is beneficial and you don't need to be afraid. Recently, Baba's statement was very interesting. Drama is always right. And even if something goes wrong, that is also right in the drama. And if you think that something is wrong, then your mind is off track. Bring your mind back onto the track of thinking that drama is right and things will work out right.
Yeah, strong faith in drama. Always, always. Sister Jinti, death is one of the greatest fears in the Lokik world. It's rated as being one of the top ones. So the other day a sister from the UK, a senior sister, was saying to me, she sometimes envisions a mushroom cloud, you know, a nuclear situation. And how would she feel if she was watching this and she knew this was her own end? Well, we don't know where our end is going to be. And the circumstances are getting really tough now with climate, with wars, with all sorts of things. What can you say to us in terms of our own security at the end? Imagine if it's an accident, a plane coming down. Or
Part of our work at climate change conferences, the right thoughts, the right words, and the right actions are the seeds you plant today, and you make sure that happens. You don't need to worry about the future. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And people understand that. And for Baba's children, we understand that Baba's with us, teaching us. And yes, of course, I need to follow Srimad, but that's the only thing. That's the only thing Baba's asking us to do. Don't have to stand on your head. Don't have to do Hatha Yoga. Don't have to have penance. Just do what Baba's asking you to do.
There are Brahmins who live in a big community, like retreat centers, large centers, Madhuban. And then there are Brahmins who live alone at home. Would you say that it's easier to remove fear if you're living in a large community and you've got lots of people around you, you know you'll be supported at the end, whereas if you're off on your own in a flat or somewhere in a country where there's not many BKs, it's more fearful?
In Hindi, or Sindhi actually, I've heard it in Sindhi from Daddy, Bhagwan Yani Singh Thodiye. And what that means is that God knows what type of horns you need. And what it means is that the soul has certain capacities, and the situation you find yourself in is always according to those capacities. And so, for example, Daddy used to say this when she was in Pune. It was difficult for her to be in the heat and humidity of Pune, or of Bombay, and Baba asked her to come to Pune. And so Baba knew, and so put her there. Bombay, a lot of noise, a lot of people, a lot of activity. And here, it was very quiet, and service seemed to be a bit slow. But Baba told her, don't move from Pune until I tell you. And the seeds that she was sowing in the women who were coming in those days, with not a single brother, or maybe one or two, but not much. It was women. Somebody came to London to start the center. Somebody came to Hong Kong to start the center. Somebody went to Texas and they started a center. And service grew. Mm. And so wherever it is you are, adjust in that situation and make the best of that situation. Baba knows where to put you. Daddy Nirmashanta put it in another beautiful way. Daddy talking about giving you the horns according to your needs. She was talking about her personal experience between Bombay and Pune. But Daddy Nirmashanta, the daughter of a jeweler, put it in another way, which is also very beautiful. A jeweler knows how to position a jewel so that it reveals its beauty in the best way possible. Now, is it a diamond that's going to look good here? Is it a diamond that's going to look good in a ring? Well, if we see a diamond, we wouldn't necessarily know, but definitely Baba knows. And Baba puts me in the best place for me. And so again, if I just trust that, because both situations will give me different experiences. Maybe if I'm in a big community, I won't thrive because I can't manage all the samskaras. Maybe if I'm on my own, I do much better. Mm. But the other way also, maybe the other way around, whichever way it is, but let me take advantage.
Sister Jenti, in your life, you've done many things that have been the box. You've been, you know, perhaps one of the first in London. You have done, attended conferences. You've been one of the first in the environmental conferences. Maybe no one knew us then. Did you ever feel fear of being rejected and look at these women in white saris, they don't know what they're talking about? Have you felt that fear before?
My first experiences when there wasn't a center yet and I was trying to serve. In India, it was easy. There was a platform that was created. I just had to do a little bit of churning and remember Baba and come on the platform and do what I needed to do and go off the platform. Service was very easy. This was in the early days. And now I had to think about everything from scratch. And many doors that I knocked on, people said, sorry, thank you, we don't have time. Or they heard me talk about yoga and they believed in omnipresence and I wasn't adept enough to be able to explain to them about non-omnipresence. But it just meant that for a full year, doors were just closing and I wasn't getting through anywhere. And then I started a program of yoga at Dadiji's, Dadi Kumarka's instigation. And that yoga program was so good for me. And I realized that it was getting rid of the ego that I can do service. And so after that, just being Baba's instrument, I can't remember being afraid. I know that sometimes it's going to be rejection, but I've been through that before and I've survived. I've been challenged and I've been able to keep smiling, and that was Baba's help. You know, one day I was in Texas and it was quite a long tour. This was, I remember, the year 84, and I was traveling through the whole of the USA, wherever there were centers at that time, and arrive there, do a program in the evening, next morning, morning class, breakfast, off to the next place. It was like that. And Ricky and Sandy and Rick were with me. And we went to this place in San Antonio, which was a radio show. And I'd done many radio shows before, in the UK especially, and also in the Caribbean. And people were always kind and interested. And here, I got there, and the guy's smiling, and he's okay. Then the others go sit outside, and it's he and me with the mics in the studio. And he says one or two things, simple at first. By the third question, I'll tell you where he went. He said, people say that teachings of other scriptures like the Gita are like dishwater. What would you say to that? I'd never been challenged like that. And I was very self-conscious. I became very aware that we're in a different phase now. And I made the tone of my voice very calm, almost monotone. And in self-consciousness, you can do that. And every question was negative. Then, after a few negative questions, he said, sister, have you ever met a crocodile? I said, no. And he said, I'm going to throw you to the crocodiles now. And what that means is that I'm going to open up to all the people out there who are listening and let them ask you questions. I'm going to watch you swim with the crocodiles.
Oh, goodness.
Now, what sort of invitation is that? And every single question was wrong, harsh, negative, aggressive, the lot. And I just kept smiling and keeping the tone of my voice absolutely calm. And at the end he said, well, thank you, sister. And I came out. And Rick and Sandy said, you're alive? And we got to the center and they said that they had tried phoning the numbers that were being given, but they were just kept on hold because they were asked to, well, what question do you have? And if it was a reasonable question, they put you on hold. And if it was a negative, aggressive question, they put it through. So it was being monitored.
Gosh.
And vetted. next day, Hansaben, who was at the San Antonio Center then, she phoned me. I'd already gone on to the next place. And she said, I listened to that radio station again today. And do you know what happened? They said, tell me. All the listeners were saying to this announcer, why were you so horrible to that kind young lady? It was 1984, I was young. Why were you so horrible and nasty? And he said to them, well, just to stir all of you so that you'd have good entertainment. And that wasn't true. It was, for his side, real. And of course, then I also realized that's the Bible thumping belt, that middle part of the USA. And I've never met the guy again. But so having been through situations like that, you're not afraid. You're not going to get anything much worse than that.
I remember once in Australia, the BKs got negative press in a newspaper, and Nirmala Didi said, doesn't matter. She said, people will read it and they'll come to the centre even more. They'll start to call the centre and find out more about us. It's all good. So I'm sure there must have been so much benefit when people saw how calm you stayed through the whole session.
When there was very negative reactions in the press, because the Arya Samajis actually burnt down the pictures when we were holding an exhibition somewhere. Mm. And the name of the newspaper was something Mitra, friend. And Baba said to the sisters in Calcutta, write to them and tell them what real friendship is. Mm. And anyway, whoever defames you is actually your friend. Ninda hamari jo kare, mitra hamara so. It's a saying in Hindi. That whoever defames you is actually your friend. They're publicizing your name. You'd never hit the front page of the newspaper just like that, but here you were hitting the front page of the newspaper.
And just looking at the time, I'm going to ask you one more question, a little bit different to what we've spoken about. It's about the Brahmin family. Fear of authority. Fear that if I follow a BK senior's instructions, I lose my own independence. Fear of being told what to do by someone who's not
understanding you clearly.
Okay. So, looking at the Brahmin family and the fears that we have amongst us, the fear of authority in the Brahmin family, the fear of coming under someone, the fear of being told what to do by a human being. Baba's very clear, Murali is clear, Srimat is clear, but most of us have to work under someone in the Brahmin family. Fear of being told to do something that might be wrong. How does one deal with this fear of authority?
When it's spiritual authority, it doesn't create fear. I remember when I decided to surrender, my mother said to me, you find it difficult, you argue with me and your father about everything. How are you going to listen to all the dadis? And it was a spontaneous answer from my heart. When they're asking me to do something, it's for my benefit, for my good. And I didn't say anything further, but I explained that. And so, yes, I think that spiritual authority never actually causes fear. And if I'm in a situation where there is somebody who's imposing Laukik authority, even though it's Baba's house, it's Baba's home, then I really have to talk to myself very seriously and build up the courage to talk to the person in charge and say, Baba says this, and I'm being asked to do this. Can you please explain why? And if you're talking with respect, the other person has to give you a valid answer. If you're angry and upset and you're rude and demanding, well, maybe they were wrong, but you're also wrong. It doesn't make anything right. But if I'm following Srimad and I'm calm and I'm giving respect, then If something doesn't feel right, then let me very gently ask what's happening. And if things still aren't working out, Bhagavad gives us the authority in the Murali, report it. Report it to someone who's more senior. Maybe the country person. Maybe if it's the country person that's the problem, maybe the RC. But it really first has to be with those pure intentions and good feelings of trying to resolve situations and make them right, rather than, well, I think this, but the sister in charge is saying this. Well, am I right in thinking I am right all the time? No. Can I calm down and speak with respect and say, but I don't understand this. Can you please explain?
Which again comes back to faith, that obviously somebody is trying to say beneficial things to me. Maybe there's just a miscommunication, misunderstanding.
Well, sometimes it's ego. I have to say that it's not always good intentions. And that's not justifying or blaming or anything. It's the reality. And maybe it's just ego for one day. Maybe I'm a center in charge and I've had a very hard day, and you come with this amazing idea, and I say, stop all this nonsense. And, you know, it's my ego that's speaking at that moment. I'm not kind, I'm not willing to give time, or even say, quite honestly, look, I don't have the space for this now. Can we talk about it tomorrow? So human factors come in all the time. So when there's the basic concept within spirituality is, if I respect myself, then I'm able to give respect to others. And that's from Baba right the way down to the newest student. To be able to stay in my own state of dignity and treat everyone with that dignity.
Thank you, Sister Jayanti. I'm looking at time and I know you need to leave at 7. So on behalf of everyone here, from our hearts, thank you so, so much.
Well, thank you for the questions, good questions.
Oh, if I,